Blog Talk Radio.
ComStar Computers is a proud sponsor of the CIMC Music Show, and this week they are offering a special sale on tablets, Android tablets 7 inches, starting out at just $50, and they also have iRulu smartwatches that start out at $40. So go to www.comstarcomputers.com and click on the online store link on their webpage, and you'll be taken to their inventory where you can see all the different types of tech gadgets they have for sale, ranging from tablets and smartphones to smartwatches and storage devices and even computer accessories. So check them out at www.comstarcomputers.com.
Welcome to the CIMC Music Show. I'm your host, Jason Cuban, and tonight's show is called Alice's Restaurant. Tonight we air Alice's Restaurant in its original entirety. This was a comedy piece from 1967, and we're going to go ahead and play that in its totality of 18 glorious minutes. Also on hand tonight will be Arius Cuban, who's going to be doing an interview with us. If you'd like to call in and ask questions and participate, the number to call in is 626-213-5713. Now we're going to go ahead and get things kicked off with a special birthday announcement. You may remember from yesterday's show, Sally Anderson is celebrating her birthday today. Sigrid says to tell you happy birthday, and she hopes that you've enjoyed your day and she enjoyed spending it with you. We would also like to talk about one of our newest sponsors, RAS Aquatics. We're going to hear more from about them here later on in the show, but RAS Aquatics is your one-stop spot for aquatic needs, aquatic pets. They have brackish and freshwater fish, as well as accessories, and even have their own homemade fish line, or fish food line, I should say. So check them out at rasaquatics.onefreecart.com, and the one is the number one, so it's number1freecart.com. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get things started with Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson, and we'll be back with a few updates and announcements, and we'll get right to it with Arius Moose Cuban.
I'm going to make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turned up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them?
Follow the pattern of the wind you see, 'cause they got no place to be. That's why.
All right, and welcome back to the CIMC Music Show. You want to do something special this holiday season? I know the budgets are getting a little tight with the state of our economic situation in this country, but one woman out of West Virginia has an answer to your problems. And with us today is Janet Keplinger of Moorefield, West Virginia, with a special charity that she's helping get off the ground, and she's going to tell you a little bit about it.
Well, hi. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to let you know that I am a grandmother of 15 children, and I also am a great-grandma. So I have, in the past, had many Christmases where I felt like I wasn't able to find any way that I could possibly do all these children for Christmas. And it got me kind of depressed. So I have now thought about this for several years, and I have a daughter who's come up with an idea because she's very talented. We're going to start a Granny's Christmas Closet. And what that is we're going to have the seniors in the West Virginia area at this time. We'll try that, and then we hope to go to other Virginia areas as well, maybe Harrisonburg next season. We'll see how it goes. We're going to have Granny's Christmas Closet, where we are going to ask the community if they have donations of any gently used dolls, all kinds, all sizes, that we can go ahead and recycle, do their hair up, and get them pretty clothes on, and then maybe some donations of any kind of boys' toys, especially in sports area, balls, bats, you know, footballs, whatever. And then we are going to also try to do some stockings where we will have items that the grandparents can select, like toys or food and school items, and then fill a little sock for each kid. Each child. So anyway, we're hoping to have this done real quickly. We're looking for donations. You can reach me for further information. I will have a website up for this tomorrow. But my name is Janet Keplinger. It's lowercase letters, Janet Keplinger, K-E-P-L-I-N-G-E-R, at yahoo.com. And you can feel free to reach me there. Also, I have a phone number. It's a 304-434-2979. And for the Virginia number, here in Harrisonburg area, 540-810-7695, and you can ask for Kim. So if you have any donations you want to put together, this will give an opportunity for our seniors in our areas to be able to do some Christmas shopping for their grandchildren. Thank you very much for the time.
All right, good stuff there coming out of West Virginia. Again, that's Granny's Christmas Closet, and you can definitely send your donations on over to Janet Keplinger at yahoo.com. One more time, that's JanetKeplinger at yahoo.com. And the telephone numbers to get more information or to arrange a meeting or drop off are in West Virginia, 304-434-2979, and in Virginia, 540-810-7695. And you're going to ask for Kim when you call that number, and they'll go ahead and get you information on how to get together and drop that off. Always looking out to do something good for our community, and right now we have a lot of people who are going through some hardships, and stuff like this is a great way to help make a change in your community and to help touch the lives of others and those who are less fortunate. So definitely get on board with that. Send your donations in, and anything you can do to help is greatly appreciated. And I appreciate the time that Ms. Keplinger has spent with us to go over this stuff here. Very good job, and I think it's a great idea. Again, that's the Granny's Christmas Closet. And find them on Facebook. They're going to start a Facebook page or a group very shortly. So within the next few days, you should be able to see that up online. And when we find out about it, we'll go ahead and put it here on the CIMC Music Show. Right now, we're going to flip it over to the Beatles' Taxman.
1, 2, 3, 4
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Too small.
welcome back to the CIMC Music Show. This is the Alice's Restaurant episode. We just heard about the Granny's Christmas Closet with Janet Keplinger. And if you didn't hear about that, we're going to go ahead and put the information on the page here for this particular show so you can log on and check that out and see what you can do about getting your donations in. All right, so we're getting ready to get Miss Arias Cuban here in just a moment, and he's going to talk about some of his new music. He's a 14-year-old out of Harrisonburg, Virginia, and attends Harrisonburg High School. He's proficient in the with the piano and guitar, as well as vocals, which you're going to find out tonight. And we're going to go ahead and ask him some questions. That you can definitely call in and interact with him if you'd like to. The number here to call in is 626-213-5713, and you can definitely ask him any questions you have. So we're going to get started with that right after a word from our sponsor.
Rockingham Aquatic Specialty is your number one spot for aquatic life and accessories. www.rasaquatics.onefreecart.com. That's the number one, freecart.com. Rockingham Aquatic Specialty, serving your aquarium needs.
And we're back, and I'd like to introduce my guest tonight. This is Arias Cuban. Arias, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking, Jason.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show. I understand you brought us two songs. Tell me about them first.
Well, the first one I did, Dust in the Wind, I wanted to play that song for a really long time. So I thought today could be the day so I could stop procrastinating and everything. And for the second one, Prelude, I actually wrote that when I was about 9 or 10. Well, I actually didn't write it. It was just me messing around on the keyboard. And then I found the record function, and I just went haywire.
Okay. Now, and you're 14 years old now, is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
And you attend Harrisonburg High School, right?
Yes, I do.
What's your favorite subject in school?
That's kind of a difficult one because I'm in the midst between theater and men's choir.
Okay, you have any friends you want to give a shout out to?
I would like to give a shout out to my friend Abby Menard, my other friend Kyle Showalter. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be doing my music career. So yeah, thank you guys.
Okay, how about some teachers or faculty members? Anybody you want to say hi to?
No.
That's just too bad. Okay, so let me ask you. I also, you said something about being in drama. Tell us about some of the plays that you've been in over the years.
I've been in a bunch of plays, mostly musicals. I've been in a bunch of kind of Broadway kind of things. Basically, what they would do is get a bunch of plays, and they would turn them into a quick over version. Instead of having it more than, like, three acts, they would put it into about two acts.
Okay. And what are some of the ones that you did? What are some titles?
Alice in Wonderland, My Son Pinocchio, and that's the only ones I can recollect that I actually had a fun time with. All the other ones were just, I was there. No.
Okay. Now, what part did you play in Alice in Wonderland?
I played yours truly, the Mad Hatter.
Okay, now, I'll be honest, the reason why I asked that question is somebody compared you to the Johnny Depp character, so I wanted to pull that out, make you feel a little bit good about yourself. Now, in the... I'm trying to think. What was the other ones you said? My Son Pinocchio. What did you play in that?
I played Junior, the son of a very mad, deranged scientist. Very, very off-the-wall stuff there that we had.
Okay. Now, I'd like to go ahead and play one of your songs now. Which was the first one that you wanted us to play tonight?
I wanted to do Prelude first because I thought it would be a nice thing for us to do a comparison between how I was when I was about 9 or 10 and how I am now.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit about your thoughts on Prelude and what led to your writing that. I mean, what was the inspiration for that?
I mean, I didn't really write it. It's just I was hitting that point to where I wanted to start doing music because I remember my dad, what he would always do is that he would always play guitar around me and stuff like that. And he'd always say, wow, you'd do really great if you'd play guitar. And I said, I could try that. So I started out playing with the piano, making my own mock tracks and stuff like that on my old laptop, which is long gone. And I finally got to the point that where I realized, I finally learned about octaves. So I decided to mess with those, and then I got to a string function, and then I pretty much messed with the octaves as much as I could.
Oh, man, your dad sounds like a really awesome guy.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get started with Prelude here on the CIMC Music Show. This is by Arias Cuban.
Thank you.
What a great song, Prelude by Arius Cuban. It sounds like, to me, something out of a movie. We are here with Arius Cuban, who is a local artist who is sharing some of his music with us tonight. He is 14 years old from Harrisonburg, attends Harrisonburg High School, and he has a really awesome dad. So we're going to talk more about him. He's brought us a second song, and I'm going to let him tell you a little bit more about that. But we do have some more questions for him. If you want to call in, you can do so by dialing 626-213-5713. Okay, Arius, so I have some more questions for you. First one I'd like to know, is there a special person in your life, a girlfriend?
Nope.
Just no time for him, or you're too busy? What's the deal?
I think my personality is too distinguished upon the others because of the fact that my immortal soul is not in dire straits.
And you're modest, too, aren't you?
Depends.
Okay. So, all right, tell us a little bit about why you chose to do Dust in the Wind as a cover.
Well, I mean, number one, I played it for the first time because I grabbed one of my dad's old tab books. Like, it was long ago. By long ago, I mean like a year ago. So, anyways, I grabbed one of his old tab books and I started looking through it, even though he specifically told me, Arius, don't look through my tab book. I did it anyway because I'm smart. And I found Dust in the Wind. And I thought, wow, that actually would seem like a cool song. And I just had to mess with it, and I looked at the chord shapes and stuff like that, and then I just messed around with it. And then I finally got to the point where I performed it for somebody, and they said, wow, you should record that. And I was like, all right, cool, I should plan that out. And that's where I am now.
Okay. And is there any, emotional bond to that song? I mean, do you feel anything when you're doing it?
Whenever I play it, it kind of, this is the same thing for all of my other music, is that the fact that I really don't, whenever I play it, I sort of tone out the outside world, you know? Like, songs like these, to the point where they actually have meanings and emotional ties to it, it actually feels like it basically pulls you out from the world and puts you into a true world of emotion.
Okay. Because I'll be honest with you, I heard the track, and you did very well with it. Now, you are playing the guitar as well as doing the vocals on here, right? This is all you. Nobody else is helping you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how do you feel about this? I mean, are you proud of this particular recording? I mean, what's your overall opinion of it?
I feel pretty good about it. I mean, sure, there were a few parts where I messed up, but I'm just hoping nobody realizes it.
Okay. I'm trying to think. When I heard the song, I thought that you did a great job with your vocal range there. It seemed to me like you had a natural ability to harmonize with the guitar work, and I liked that a lot. I did like that you did a harmony vocal over the first track, and that sounded pretty good. So I enjoyed it. I appreciate you sharing it with us. If you want to go ahead and introduce it, we'll get it started.
All right. This is my performance of Dust in the Wind by the band Kansas.
This is Arius Moose Cuban with his cover of Dust in the Wind on the CIMC Music Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was Arius Cuban with his version or cover of Dust in the Wind by Kansas. Arius, just a few more questions. How do you think your music has changed since the recording of Prelude, the first song that you brought us today, and then this track that you recorded today?
I think Prelude could have been considered as a key to opening a new door with a whole bunch of new things. And I think that Dust in the Wind, the way that I play Dust in the Wind, I believe that this is one of the things that has come from said, basically, unlocking.
And who are your musical influences?
Well, they range from everywhere, because I have Eddie Van Halen and Slash from Guns N' Roses, and Van Halen. And I also have Corey Taylor, Mick Thompson, and Jim Root from Slipknot. And I also have Jonathan Davis from Korn as an inspiration. So I basically just have a whole bunch of music taste.
Okay, so you're all over the board on that one, Vincent. After hearing those different artists, Dust in the Wind just kind of seems way out on the musical branch there.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that.
Okay, so what made you decide to choose to take on a song that is so outside of the realm of the music genres that you're influenced by?
Well, I mean, I look at it like this, that music isn't like a soda. It's not like an insurance rate. It's not a T-shirt. It's like the only religion worth devoting your soul to, no matter what strength, no matter what division you want to have. It's the last remnant of the primal scream, the funeral dirge, and the wedding march. It's the light that keeps me out of the shadows and the reason why my immortal soul is not in dire straits.
That sounded pretty rehearsed, but that's very profound. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show today, and I hope to have you back. And if anybody wants to get a hold of your music, where can they go to get copies?
Well, you can go to the Controlling Interest Music Company site right now, and I think they're free downloads for it, I believe.
Okay. Well, probably not for Dust in the Wind since you just recorded that, but I know we have Prelude up there. That's been up there for a while. So, yeah, you can go to the Reverb Nation and type in Controlling Interest Music Company, and you can find it there on the list of music. And, again, that's a free download. Well, Arius, thank you for joining us, and I hope to have you back on the show again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and hear a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back, and we're going to go ahead and hear our Alice's Restaurant, and that's an excellent, yeah, it's funny. Okay, so we're going to hear a little bit from Dr. Fierro's Biodefense, and then we'll be right back.
It's that time of year again when the winter months are upon us, and with that comes colds and flus, and we have just the answer for you to keep you above weather. Dr. Arthur Fierro of Harrisonburg, Virginia, who is a nationally accredited nutritionalist and chiropractor. He's the inventor of the dietary supplement Biodefense. Biodefense will help you overcome a lot of common illnesses, which can be greatly affected by simple changes in your nutritional behavior, but with Dr. Fierro's Biodefense dietary supplement, this compound will help you battle those things such as the cold and the flu, as well as a range of other illnesses. Dr. Fierro's Biodefense can be purchased on his website at www.drarthurfierro.com. That's DrArthurFierro.com, or by calling his office here in Harrisonburg at 540-434-2495.
said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they gathered for the feast. They stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Alice's Restaurant episode of the CIMC Music Show, and we're about to start our feature track. Alice's Restaurant is what's actually called Alice's Restaurant Massacre, and it is commonly known as Alice's Restaurant. It is a musical monologue by singer and songwriter Arlo Guthrie, released on his 1967 debut album, self-titled of Alice's Restaurant. It is notable as a satirical first-person account of the 1960s counterculture, in addition to being a hit song in its own right and an inspiration for the 1969 movie of the same name. The song is one of Guthrie's most prominent works, based on a true incident from his life that began on Thanksgiving Day, 1965, with a citation for littering and ending with a refusal of the U.S. Army to draft him because of his conviction for that crime. The ironic punchline of the story is that, in the words of Guthrie, I'm sitting here on the Group W bench because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the Army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug. The final part of the song is an encouragement for the listeners to sing along to resist the draft and end the war. So without any further ado, I'd like to go ahead and introduce Arlo Guthrie and his song Alice's Restaurant right here on the CIMC Music Show. And we'll be right back after this 18-minute and 20-second long track. Thank you.
This song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago, no, 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower, with her husband Ray and Fasha's a dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before, and with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road, and off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff, and at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile is better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and just wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking over for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obi could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, "Obie, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on." He said, "Shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car." And that's what we did. Sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened. Here they got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car, but when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in a newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire, track, footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against them. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, the southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After after the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obi said he was gonna put us in the cell. Said, kid, I'm gonna put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt. And I said, Obi, I can understand you want my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for? And it said, kid, we don't want any hanging. Said, Obi, did you think I was gonna hang myself for littering? Obi said he was making sure, and friends, Obi was, because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, and have an escape. Obi was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? The song about Alice. Alice came by and with a few nasty words to Obi on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obi came in with a 27 8x10, colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, all rise. We all stood up, and Obi stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures. And the judge walked in, sat down with the C&I dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obi looked at the C&I dog. Then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the C&I dog. And then the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, because Obi came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't going to look at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against them. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. We got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in and sat down. Got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. Because I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like all. I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, shrink, I want to kill. I want to kill. Kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. 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 And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill. Kill. And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill. Kill. And the sergeant came over, pinned the medal on me, sent me down the hall, said, you're our boy. Feel too good about it. Proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they were doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things, and I was just having a tough time there. And they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they wasn't leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I went, finally came to see the very last man. I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, what do you want? He said, kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested? And I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant, Massacree, with full orchestration and 5-part harmony and stuff like that, and then all the phenomena stopped me right there and said, kid, did you ever go to court? I proceeded to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and stopped me right there and said, "Kid, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid." And I walked over to the bench there, and there's Group W is where they put you. If you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime, and there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench there. Mother rapers. Father stabbers. Father rapers. Father rapers sitting right there on the bench next to me, and one day was mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime-fighting guys was sitting there on the bench. And the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he was mean and ugly and nasty and horrible and all kinds of things. And he sat down next to me and said, "Kid, what'd you get?" I said, "I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage." He said, "What were you arrested for, kid?" And I said, "Littering." And they all moved away from me on the bench there, and carry eyeballing all kinds of mean, nasty things, till I said, "I'm creating a nuisance." And they all came back, shook my hand, and we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping, all kinds of groovy things that we were talking about on the bench. And everything was fine. We were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things until the sergeant came over, had some paper in his hand, held it up, and said, "Kids, this piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 cents, it's 58 words. We want no details of the crime, time, crime, and that kind of thing. Got 17, 10 about the crime, want no rest, an officer's name, and that kind of thing. You got to say and talk for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. And I filled out the massacre with the four-part harmony and wrote it down there just like it was, and everything was fine. And I put down a pencil and I turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side, in parentheses, capital letters, quotated, read the following words: "Kid, you rehabilitated yourself." I went over to the sergeant and said, "Sergeant, you've got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I'm sitting here on the bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on the Group W bench because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug." He looked at me and said, "Kid, you don't like your kind. And we're going to send your fingerprints off to Washington, and friends. Somewhere in Washington, enshrined in some little folder, is a study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you the song now is because you may know somebody in a similar situation. Or you may be in a similar situation. And if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing you can do, is walk into the shrink wherever you are. Just walk in, say, 'Shrink, you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant,' and walk out. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's really sick and they won't take him. And if two people do it in harmony, they think they're both faggots and they won't take either of them. And if three people do it. Three, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is. The Alice's Restaurant Anti-Master Creed Movement. And all you gotta do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar. With feeling. So we'll wait till it comes around on the guitar here. Sing it when it does. Here it comes. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. That's horrible. One and Warren stuff, you gotta sing loud. You could put a lot. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I could sing it for another 25 minutes. I'm not proud or tired. So we'll wait till it comes around again. And this time with four part harmony and feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around, is what we're doing. All right now. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Accepting Alice. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. So walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. At Alice's Restaurant.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. What a classic. That's an awesome song. You know, he's done another version of that, and I tell you, I looked so hard to try to find it. It was one that he recorded right around the time Jimmy Carter took the White House and added a little bit into it and updated it just a little bit, not too much, kept it pretty much the same, but that little extra bit with him and Chad Carter, Jimmy's son there, and it was pretty darn funny. Okay, so we've got about 3 minutes left in the show, and I just want to go ahead and get the announcements out of the way. If you have any events that you want to have mentioned here on the show, this can be any charitable event, yard sales, things like that, definitely send that in. You can find us on Facebook at Controlling Interest Music Company page or the CIMC Musicians Forum, which is a group on Facebook, and or you could send your information over to ncardiasat@yahoo.com. That's ncardiasat@yahoo.com, and we'll do our best to get it on the air. Now, we're also always on the lookout for new and original music by local artists, so definitely get that in, and we will be more than happy to play your music on the air. And definitely would like to promote your shows for you. So if you have something coming up and you want to get the word out, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me through the same information that we just put up. And I think that's pretty much it as far as that's concerned. We are offering commercial slots here on the show, and they start as low as $5 and go up from there. And we also have full episodes available for you if you'd like us to devote an entire episode to your calls. Now, we typically try to steer away from doing businesses. So unless your business is offering some major service or like a charity event or something that affects our community, we, like I said, we try to stay away from just straight commercial, like paid commercial type episodes. So if it's a local thing or if it's a sale or something like that that you want to talk about, we can do a commercial. But if you're doing a specific event or if you're like, let's say, for example, you have a story that you want to talk about that happened to you, those things are more than welcome to be brought on the show for. So you can go ahead and email me at NCARDIASAT, again, NCARDIASAT at yahoo.com, and tell me a little bit about what you want on the air, and we'll be happy to get it on. So, again, special birthday wish to Sally Anderson, who celebrates her birthday today, and that is a special wish from her daughter, Sigrid, who got to spend the day with her, as well as her brother coming into town, who's one of our favorite Globetrotters, and he's finally back here in Virginia to spend that time with his family. So hope everything's going good with you guys there. And once again, thank you very much for tuning in to the CIMC Music Show. This show will be on our archives, so feel free to go on over to blogtalkradio.com/CIMC. Thanks again, and you guys have a wonderful evening.